man, choking on a coffee.
Hey, does anybody want a coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
Having conversations about society.
So, I want to say on behalf of myself, I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much from the bottom of my half-Cuban heart. I want to say thank you so much to all you hardworking taxpayers out there working 40, 80 hours a week. Thank you for working doubles. Thank you for working weekends. Thank you for not taking vacations, holidays, getting your vacations paid out. Thank you for holding off on that nice earring, holding off on that nice car, that it better be a electric car. Thank you so much, because without you, it wouldn't be possible. I worked so hard. I've made so many calls to Congress. I worked so much late nights thinking and contemplating, and it's finally here. Thank you guys for making our student loan, well, my student loan, paid off at least $10,000 to $20,000. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are a beautiful, beautiful bunch. I want to say thank you to our leader and comrade, Vice President Joe Biden, for making this possibility. So thank you guys for all your hard work. I greatly appreciate it. Hello, everybody. This is Ralph William. You can follow me on Twitter at The Ralph William. You can follow my internet radio station, WESN Radio, on Twitter as well. If you want to download our app, you can go to Google, Apple, WESN, the Epic Strategies Network. You can go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com to tune in. Give us a donation. Hey, might as well, right? You're helping out with my student loan. Doesn't that feel good? Don't you feel good about yourself? You should. You should. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Every fiscal year, it gives, and gives, with the IRS taking away from you. But anyway, I digress. Thank you all for tuning in. If you have your coffee mugs, your travel mugs, your sippy cups, your doggy bowls, if you have a beer hat and you want to drink it like that, then go ahead and do so and join me in a sip of cafecito. Well, guys, I hope you can understand that I'm just kidding around, right? Now, if it does work for me, that kind of makes me happy, right? Now, for the many, many people that you think might benefit from this, might not be who you think are going to benefit from this. Now, I'm not going to dive too much into this because there's plenty of other people that will give you a good breakdown on the logistics of who is going to benefit from this cancellation of debt and who isn't. And I'll sum it up really quick for you. It's the working middle class that's going to be paying for this for a long, long time. So, on a personal note for myself, I am one of the many that made the mistake, maybe not even the mistake. I don't regret anything when it comes to my decision. I became the only one in my family to go to college and complete it. So that's something that I hold dear. But there is something to be said about paper degrees, right? A lot of people like to tout out their accomplishments with, you know, what schools they went to, what degrees they have. But yet when it comes to actual knowledge of the subject or common sense, they don't seem to have any. So it really boils down to real life experiences and how you are able to apply your work or your degree to your work or career path, et cetera, et cetera. Me, I got a bachelor's in communication. I came in young and dumb, thinking that I was going to be working in maybe the music industry or college radio, or not college radio, but I did work in college radio, but I had the illusion of I wanted to be a DJ on the air, not really diving into the, it's not just that, right, that it makes money. These people that are on the air are always working on many other projects. They have four or five different things on their plates just to have different revenues, you know, coming in. Those that work in radio are not really making a lot, but it wasn't really about the money. I mean, young me thought that I was going to make lots of money or at least a good living wage. But it was more of a, you know, this is something that I enjoy doing, that I think I'm good at. You know, let me put my money where my mouth is and go into, do what society says is what you're supposed to do, right? Go to school. I always thought, or I had the thinking that if I didn't go to school, that I would be a failure. And that was the exact opposite. Now it's those that did not go to school that have decided to work and do their thing that are more successful, at least in the more grit or skin in the game, as they like to say, that they're able to go through life, you know, not letting people get one over on them. Gaining street smarts is what I'm trying to say. Gaining street smarts. There's only so much information you can get from books. And I slowly realized that over the years, right? It's not about how much you read, but how much you're able to apply to everyday life. If you can be a great psychologist and learn all the different, you know, diagnoses and, you know, how to treat certain things, but if you don't apply it or if you don't have real life experience in it, you know, knowing you have to be able to be around 1,000 people, 1,000 hours, 1,000,000 hours of, you know, sitting down time with people to know who needs help, how they need help, how much help to give, how much to dial back. You know, those are the things that you need to tweak in your own experiences. That's what makes you a good, successful person in a career that you choose, right? But not picking, and I am guilty of this. I am not trying to be all high and mighty. There were some courses that I chose just for its, I guess you can say, easy side, right? Hence, you've heard me say plenty of times before that I went to certain courses that were teaching Marxism and communism and things like that because, of course, the teacher was a laid back, didn't really press on us. And of course, me being young, I enjoyed that. So I've been indoctrinated a little bit as I got older in the past couple of years. I kind of switched over, right? And a lot of things that I've been learning or I've learned over the years, it kind of makes sense on why I ended up or how I ended up certain ways, right? This is not me making excuses for how my life went, but it's something to be taken and used as what not to do, Right. Because you need to be able to really, of course, in hindsight, looking back, you're always going to find ways that maybe you should have done something a certain way. But for those young ones that are falling for this catchphrase, democratic socialism, which we'll get into shortly, it's going to be causing lots of problems for them. And they're going to feel the brunt of it because they're the ones that are going to be going into the workforce and they're going to be, feeling it in their pockets. Like, yo, why am I paying double in taxes now than my parents did, you know, in their previous generations? That's because a lot of the social programs that are coming, that are being implemented, kind of like in California, where they're saying by 2035, they want to ban all gas-powered vehicles. So let's see how that's going to work out for you young ones that have your whole lives ahead of you. Gonna have to work extra hard, extra long hours, or maybe not even extra hard. Maybe it might be a different kind of hard. For some of us, we had to work a lot of physical labor, you know, hard trades. But as technology moves forward, maybe it might make things seem easier for you in terms of, you know, the back in the day stresses of getting a job done. Back in the day, you had welders do the job, whereas maybe in the future, you'll have to be a robot operator that will do the welding. So it's a different kind of stress, but we'll see. Only time will tell. Speaking of time, this is about time that I drop a commercial for you guys. So thank you for listening. You're listening to Coffee with RW.
CaresNone.com. It's a clothing line. It's a lifestyle. Go to CaresNone.com. Check out their clothing line. It's fantastic. Use code DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. That's DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. CaresNone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Are you uncertain about what's going on in your life? Or maybe you're trying to help someone else out fix theirs? Then I recommend you go to wholeeshift.com. That's wholeeshift.com. W-H-O-L-E, another E, S-H-I-F-T.com. And get yourself a reading from Poetic. She's a Reiki healer and is very experienced in this area. So make sure to go to wholeeshift.com. Get yourself a reading today. Or you can get it as a gift card and give it to someone who might need it. That's holyshift.com. Let them know Ralph William sent you. That's holyshift.com.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Coffee with RW.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome back. But before I move on, don't think I didn't want to say anything about him. But Anthony Fauci, my friend, my buddy, my good old pal, it seems like you're thinking about leaving or taking a break or whatever it is by December. Right after the midterm elections, you say. Oh, man. Well, here is a clip that I found from Megyn Kelly, which kind of feels the same way about Anthony Fauci as I do, and a lot of people out there feel as well. So I want to just make sure I get this out before I move on to other things. But Fauci, my friend, my good old buddy, for those of you that don't remember, he didn't do so well back in the 80s when HIV came around. He didn't do very well this time. I think we had enough decades of issues with Fauci, but we should not let him go that easily. But here is Megyn Kelly letting us, you know, pretty much telling what we all feel about him. And then I'm going to be playing a video that I got on a TikTok that made me wonder and should make some of you out there wonder as well. But here we go, Megyn Kelly.
He sounds like he's been invited to afternoon tea at one of our houses. I will consider it. I'll consider it. You know, only if it's oversight, because what I experienced was personal attacks. I will go if it's true. Fuck you, Dr. Fauci. You don't get to say whether you go. You get a congressional subpoena, you show up, or you get the Steve Bannon treatment.
Wow. Wow, now that's some harsh words. That's some, you don't question a government official, right? Or fearless leader, or however you want to look at it, right? We don't do that here. We're just like every other country where you get locked up, thrown away for talking bad about your leaders, whether it be from the NIH or the CDC or the WHO or the World Economic Forum or however, whatever other group you want to stick in there. You don't say bad things to them. You better be careful, Megyn Kelly, or you might just get raided. You might just get the FBI going to your house, like a certain somebody that we know. There's already reports that Marjorie Taylor Greene already has been swatted, right? Man, times is rough out there. People are getting more sensitive than usual, a little crazier than usual. But anyway. Here's a video that I thought was apropos for the moment. For those that are thinking about moving on, that they're not thinking about the vid, they're not thinking about Fauci, they're not thinking about CDCs, really think about what they did to us for these past 2 years, right? And here's something that really kind of hit home and made me think. And for some of you, it should too.
You guys know that they ran a test on you to figure out if you would be okay with them killing your fellow countrymen in front of you? Let's see if you passed. How'd you respond to this?
For Crowder, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Did you pass? Did you laugh like those people about watching somebody die in front of you because they didn't comply with the government? About something that the government has now changed their stance on? Just let this marinate a sec. That is some evil shit you did. You thought. You felt. You agreed with. Yikes. You know, if they made you that afraid the first time, they can make you that afraid again. So maybe next time, don't let your fear be a reason to advocate for people to die. How about that?
Wow. Now that's some powerful stuff to think about. And for those of you that might get upset over that, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't control your feelings. But when you hear some media outlets, some, not all, come in after the fact of what we've been saying for over 2 years ago about what has transcribed over this COVID and vaccines and mandates and unconstitutional mandates. It's very difficult to just let that go. You know, we don't want to say we told you so. I'm not trying to throw anything in your face, but just really pay attention to how they're playing you guys out and what they plan for the next time.
Fair use is hugely important.
Hey, come here. Listen. Get close. Can you hear me? Are you wearing your mask? Did you get your vaccine? Damn.
Hey, listen, you. Not listening to Ralph Wayne's podcast when he's live is something seriously wrong with you. You gotta get yourself checked out. Go ask Dr. Fauci.
What a moron.
Hey, are you looking for a company that provides welding services? You need to create a container home? Then look no further. Go check out HernandezMobileWelding.com. That's HernandezMobileWelding.com, a licensed and insured welding company that is located in the Florida area. Make sure to give them a call at 954-347-4071. That's 954-347-4071. They are based out of Florida for all your welding needs. That's 954-347-4071. Hernandez Mobile Welding.
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with RW. Pour yourself a cup and join us.
You know what? You're never going to be everybody's cup of tea, amore. But that's okay. Because you're somebody's shot of espresso. Right now.
So, I know I went on a little small tangent on Mr. Fauci, but you guys get the point. Back to the lesson at hand. Perfection is perfection, and I'm landing on the stand. Sorry. All right. So, before I move on to this article that I've been reading, talking about socialism, and I'm trying my best to get rid of background noise, but I'm on location for those of you that know. I will be back hopefully to do more consistent episodes. But one thing that I want to mention real quick is that getting rid of student loan debt sounds like a good idea. Getting free health care sounds like a great idea. But the problem with those things is that you're trusting one institution to take care of everybody equally. And that's not realistic. Me, as the owner of WESN and trying to make it function, if you're a podcaster or a radio host or work in radio or anything like that, or audio, you have to be able to do everything. If you're just starting out, if you're beginning starting out, you have to learn to do everything. When it comes to production, doing your own promos, sound check, you know, writing your scripts, you know, doing your own research, you know, in the beginning, you have to do that on your own. It's when you get big, when or you start working for someone that has a lot of money or a company that has a lot of money, you're able to give out, you know, those little jobs to different people. You know, I need to have someone that just takes care of promos for WESN. I need to have someone that does the audio work and make sure all the audio is tip-top shape. I need to make sure the licensings are in order. I need to make sure all the reports that I need to send out are in order. You know, those right now are on my shoulders, right? Or one person. But on a grand scale, like these things, you can't trust, you know, especially the government to take care of your individual needs, which is why things need to be more of a capitalistic, you know, individual privatized level. And this is the exact opposite of what is going on now with this freeing up of student loans, right? It all sounds good. Hey, I'm telling you, it sounded good to me. When I was in college, you know, hearing about Marxism, communism, and all that stuff, it all sounded great to me. But when you put it all in practice, of course, you're going to get your Venezuelas, your Cubas, you know, who knows what's going to happen to Colombia now. But you're going to start getting a lot of that. Now, the article that I've been looking at, which I think is pretty interesting, which breaks down the five myths about democratic socialism by John Stossel. I'm sorry. The article says John Stossel breaks down five myths of socialism. And the article is by Kathleen J. Anderson. So I'm going to be playing some of the videos that I have, or video that I have here. And of course, my AI is going to help round it off to one of the talking points in the article on the myths of socialism. Now, as you all know, for those of you that follow me, I am part Cuban, so I have a little thing to say about Cuba and my father and all that stuff. But without bringing that up again, people need to really pay attention, because it's not about embargoes here that are not helping the Cuban people. But that's for another time. Here's John Stossel on the myths of socialism.
No true socialist country that exists today.
But there is. Look at Venezuela.
Just eating is a luxury.
When I say socialism created hardship there, people trash me on my own social media. Read a book. Venezuela's not socialist. Think a bit. I'll do better than that. I'll listen to the politician who wrecked Venezuela.
El capitalismo es el reino de la injusticia.
Because capitalism is tyranny. Hugo Chavez said his government must take over businesses.
¿Y este edificio?
Es un edificio que tiene comercio privado de joyería.
Expropiese. Expropiese.
That's socialism. The socialists turned the richest country in Latin America, the nation with the biggest oil reserves in the world, into the poorest country.
But it's not clear that that crisis has anything to do with their socialist policies.
That's myth two. Venezuela's failure has
little to do with socialism and a lot to do with poor governance.
Some of Chavez's programs could have been sustainable if he pursued a sound economic policy.
Yeah, some of his policies could be sustainable if he had a sound economic policy called capitalism.
Why does it have to be capitalism? Oliver is saying if he just managed it better.
It's a story about epic mismanagement.
Or here's how Al Jazeera puts it.
Economic policies have failed to adjust to reality.
That's the nature of socialism, is for their economic policies to fail to adjust to reality. Because economic reality is evolving every day. It's millions of decentralized entrepreneurs and consumers who are making fine-tuning adjustments to them.
In our capitalist society, when COVID hit,
what did we start seeing? Millions of entrepreneurs adjusting without government orders of how to deliver their products and services.
Servers have switched roles to delivery drivers, while bartenders have turned into sales reps.
Restaurants installed the heat lamps, expanded patios, did delivery.
Although reporters complained about the absence of federal direction, no central authority could possibly direct all these individual adjustments in thousands of different places. In fact, federal direction would have prevented all that.
In a market economy, the great thing is everybody's little adjustments gets tested and we get to see what works.
Blockbuster was great, but then people were offered something better.
TV shows and movies at your command.
By contrast,
in a socialist economy, you get a one-size-fits-all adjustment and you miss out on this learning process where some entrepreneurs copy others when they see things successful and they stop doing it when it's not.
For example, East Germany's socialist planners pushed these Trabant.
Bequem für vier Erwachsene.
They said the cars were great.
Wendig. Schnell.
But it was a terrible car. Hard to drive, and it spewed pollution.
Even when West Germans were building Volkswagen, BMWs, and Porsches, East Germans were stuck with Trabant.
In a socialist economy, every one of the minor adjustments needs to be commanded. One mind who has to know all of those teeny adjustments, communicate it down, and get everybody to do the right thing. That's impossible.
No government department can manage millions of individual decisions in prices. When they try, shortages occur and money loses value.
If you work the whole month, you can buy one hamburger.
Here's another excuse for Venezuela's failure.
Oil prices plummeted in 2014, and Maduro failed to adjust.
Vox made this video called The Collapse of Venezuela Explained. In the whole video, they never mention socialism once. They blame falling oil prices.
The oil price is a complete distraction. There's plenty of countries around the world that depend on oil revenue. When oil prices went down, the people there didn't start losing weight. That just happened in Venezuela.
Finally, some people respond to my videos by saying, people in Venezuela and Cuba struggle not because of socialism, but because of our sanctions and embargo.
They certainly don't help the people, but it's an afterthought as a reason for their suffering.
In Cuba,
they drive around 1950s U.S. cars, but we don't have a blockade on them. There's no U.S. Navy destroyers preventing Kia, Fiat, or whoever else around the world from sending them cars. The reason for their suffering is they have an economic system that can't deliver.
In our next video, more myths about socialism, like progressives claim.
So that's something to think about, right? In terms of how innovative small businesses had to be around COVID. And believe me, some of the things kind of don't make sense. I've walked around New York when they had those extended porches outside. I mean, you're just creating the same thing inside, outside. It's just open area or open windows. I don't know. Just open the windows from the inside. But anyway, the point is they tried to, you know, let the private owners, private businesses hone in and know exactly what they need for their business. But when you leave it up to the government to divvy up the resources, some are not going to get what they deserve. Some are going to get less. Some are not going to get nothing at all. It's very hard for one entity, the government, to take care of you, take care of everyone's individual needs. It's impossible. But here is the rest of that John Stossel video talking about Cuba and what is the real reason for the poverty over there.
Finally, some people respond to my videos by saying people in Venezuela and Cuba struggle not because of socialism, but because of our sanctions and embargo.
They certainly don't help the people, but it's an afterthought as a reason for their suffering.
In Cuba,
they drive around 1950s U.S. cars, but we don't have a blockade on them. There's no U.S. Navy destroyers preventing Kia, Fiat, or whoever else around the world from sending them cars. The reason for their suffering is they have an economic system that can't deliver.
In our next video, more myths about socialism, like progressives claim.
All right, I'm going to make this a short one, but here's the end of the article that really hones in the problem with young people and socialism. But before I do that, I want to mention at WESN, we're looking for those that want to do live shows on WESN. So if you want, please send me a message on Twitter at the Ralph William or at WESN Radio on Twitter as well for being a live broadcaster there. So here is the end to the myth and lie of democratic socialism by John Stossel. I recommend the article to you guys to read and to look at. It's very informative and something that needs to be taught to everybody, all the young kids nowadays. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is Coffee with RW, yours truly, Ralph William. I'll catch you guys on the next episode. And when I come back from my, I don't know, hermit-isms or what, however you want to say it, we'll talk more. But catch you guys on the next Coffee Cup. Peace.
The biggest lie of them all. The idea of social justice is as oxymoronic as the phrase honest politician or military intelligence. Justice is rooted in fairness. Social justice removes the concept of fairness and replaces it with the idea of distributive justice. Essentially, the idea is to take resources away from some and distribute them to others who are deemed to have had a different societal outcome, a sort of leveling of the playing field. This is what seems so appealing to young Americans. The idea that those who have perceived greater societal obstacles than others get the same outcomes can appear alluring, especially to a generation that was raised in the everyone gets a trophy dynamic. However, the truth is that this doesn't work in practice. The struggle of life is what makes the reward so sweet. Something is defining and great in overcoming an obstacle on your own to achieve your ideal state and success. But that's not what the democratic socialists want you to believe. On the contrary, they want you to look down on the idea of self-interest and ambition.
Hey, does anybody want a coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pile of cuts. Does anybody want coffee? Who wants cuts? Does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with R.W.
Un cafecito.
Pour yourself a cup and join us.
Es un cafecito.